are you laughing at?
It's a lovely sound. Some lovely throat. Slurping. Some lovely mouth noises going on there.
Do you know what? Someone had, and I shared it on my LinkedIn, a curly whirly on the air. Right, and I was thinking that time when we were talking about all the things you shouldn't actually have before you go on the air.
I saw that. Didn't he say something like, "Who knew it would be a bad idea to eat a curly whirly 3 minutes before broadcasting the news or something?" Yeah, who would have thought that could be a problem with no drink? That's what he said. Yeah. Just chocolate noise and all.
He was doing a news.
That's right. And the headlines today.
It wasn't like he was just doing a link, because if you were doing a link, you know it's going to be about 20 seconds, 30 seconds. But he was doing a whole news. And
news, sport and weather. Why not? Probably the stock market while you're at it. Yeah.
All the mouth noises.
So golden rule, no curly whirlies before you read the news. Hello, welcome to the Just Radio podcast.
Episode 3.
To Tracy Lee over there.
And Nails Mahoney over there.
And we're delighted to have you here. Thanks for the response to the last couple of episodes.
Thank you.
As we said at the start of this, we're not looking after, not going for massive, big, world dominating numbers. We're just happy you're here because you're paying attention and you want to hear what we have to talk about. That's great.
And one question I have for you is, who are you?
As in?
Who are you as a radio presenter? Are you a radio host? Are you a radio announcer, a broadcaster, personality? What are you?
I thought you meant, who are you? Like, what's your name? Who are you? What are you doing here? Yeah, who are you is very important.
I mean, it's really important, isn't it?
Well, now more so than ever. It used to, we always say radio presenters, right?
Yeah.
And we say radio presenters because we couldn't really think of anything else that summed up what everybody does.
But the guys back in the 60s were calling them radio DJs.
They were DJs.
Because it was music driven.
Yeah, they were disc jockeys. I mean, do you call yourself a content creator? That became the thing to do in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. And why is that important? Well, number one, for yourself.
I think if you know who you are, then it makes the job easier because you can identify who you are.
And I always reflect back on speaking to a particular guy in Canada who said he's a host. He's a host on the radio, he said, because he hosts rock music and he hosts interviews. So he said, I'm a host. And that's the first time I ever thought about it. This is going back a few years. I thought, oh, okay, you actually distinguish between just being on air and being a host. And he was saying, yeah, that way I know what I'm doing. I know how to present. I know what I'm delivering and in what manner, what my audience wants from me. And that made perfect sense. So what do you think?
When you think of the words host, I'm hosting this for you. I'm hosting a dinner for you. No. I'm presenting something. I'm da-da, here it is for you. They're different types of words.
What would you, or how would you describe, say, a DJ? What's a DJ do?
Someone who plays music.
And what kind of style does a DJ have generally? When you think of a DJ, what do you think of? But that's what you think of. Would you call that a jock as well? Is a DJ the same as a jock? Or is a jock different?
No, a jock is different. A jock is jock in the music, writing the intros and being tight and.
See, I used to call myself a jock, but I didn't
Me too.
But I didn't know what it meant.
Well, people used to call me the female jock.
But I didn't know what it meant. Did you? Just a jock.
No.
You're a radio jock.
Yeah, that's right.
Which in India is what they call themselves, radio jockeys.
That's right, radio jockeys.
The RJs. Oh, not DJ, RJ, radio jockey. So I considered myself a jock. And then, but in America, a jock is a sports person, like a sports guy. You know, he plays football and gridiron and that's a jock.
Jock Ewing.
Okay, that's gone back a bit. One for the kids there, one for the teenagers. But I still like the term jock.
And me too. I do. Yeah.
Because a few people have considered a jock. In Dublin, Steve Kay, I'd consider a jock.
Yeah.
Because he's jocking the
adjunct. It's somebody who's tight, fresh.
In New York, one of our favourites.
Knows exactly where they're going and what they're doing.
We put up an air check of his during the week on TikTok. It was Trey Morgan.
Bam, bam, bam.
Trey Morgan is a jock to me. Not a boss jock because there's
another. Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Shotgun Tom.
I keep going back to Shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's great.
But Shotgun would be more of a boss jock. than Trey Morgan, who's a jock. And a boss jock has got more attitude. It's got more attitude.
So there's different categories of jocking.
Well, they're the only two I know. But yeah, but a boss jock would be...
A boss jock.
Yeah, like, you know, really...
I've never heard that one, boss jock. Before.
Get out of town.
I've never heard of
boss radio.
Tell me about it.
Well, boss jocks, well, it was...
Where was I?
Where were you? You probably weren't born, darling. You're only a child. It was boss jocks started off in the States, and they had the deep voices.
What year are we talking about?
Oh, 60s, 70s. Okay. 70s, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, listener. You'll know. But the deep voice and the patter and the attitude. So Shotgun Tom would be a boss jock. You listen to him and you go, oh, man, that guy's killing it. That's a boss jock. Whereas a jock is kind of, hey, he's really good. He's really tight and he's slick and he speaks to me. A boss jock was a... There you go. There's one of your words. It was a character.
Right.
Larger than life.
I'm doing Howard Stern. Right.
Larger.
We watched Private Parts recently as well.
We did. Oh, rabbit hole. A boss jock is larger than life, right?
I promise I won't do the rabbit holes today.
A character. That's what a boss jock is. And there aren't really any more around that I know of.
So is there any other types of jocks?
Jocks?
No. Subcategory jocks?
I don't think so. They're the only
boss
two.
Boss jock.
No, you got it wrong. Boss jock.
Boss jock.
Boss.
Okay.
Boss. You have to pretend you're from Boston. Boss jock. Boss jock. Yeah, so you have your jocks, your boss jocks, your DJs. Then you have your presenters.
Your characters.
What would a presenter be then?
I said presenting something. Ta-da! It's a presenter.
But I thought that was a host.
A host is, I'm hosting a dinner party.
It was the same jingle. It was both ta-da.
So I didn't do ta-da for the host one.
I think it ta-da.
No, I didn't.
I distinctly heard it ta-da.
If you listen back to this, I did not.
I never listened to this crap. Are you kidding me? I distinctly heard ta-da.
But no, anyway, I did it for the presenter one.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, what's the ta-da for... What's a host ta-da again? What's a host ta-da? What's that?
A host ta-da.
So do the arms. I'm hosting for you.
A host. Like hosting a dinner party.
Yeah, what's the ta-da?
Presenting.
No, okay, you're not with me. So a host goes, ta-da, I'm hosting. Or do they go, ta-da, what did they do?
Ta-da.
So that's a host. So a presenter, I'm presenting. And what's the ta-da on that one? And I'm not taking the piss now. I'm actually quite serious because it's
softer, I think.
It's softer, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm actually serious.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because...
I love the way you get into these.
No, that's the emotion.
Yeah, I know. Scientific. Listen, I love the science of this.
We're back into emotions again.
Yes.
The emotion is in the ta-da.
Ta-da!
Like if you're like, ta-da, then you're not exactly...
You're a boss jock.
Well, then you're an opera singer or a wannabe. You get my point.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's various levels. It's all shade, isn't it? It's all shade and light, mm-hmm, shade and light, mm-hmm, shade and light. Mm-hmm. So presenter is different to host, is different to announcer.
Announcer, yes.
Announcer's different. Good afternoon.
It's the broadcasting voice.
So
that's the way you think it. Like every time you hear one of those terms, you think of the voice just automatically, don't you?
Absolutely. So what would
like when you said to me earlier about the DJ, straight away I'm going, hey,
what
is a DJ?
What does an announcer do?
I am broadcasting the news to you. I'm announcing
the news.
Yes. I have an announcement to make.
Yeah, the news or something.
Information.
It's not conversational.
But it's that kind of voice.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's a declaration.
And again, you see, I'm a bit like yourself in that I listened and studied a lot of American radio from the 60s and 70s and 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I
love the way we do this thinking behind the...
Do you?
The voice stuff. Yeah,
I find it a nightmare because you can't stop it anyway.
I know. That's the thing.
Back of the day. You see, that's an announcer, right? That's
back
an announcer
the
right there.
Yeah.
They would speak like that on American radio. 6:22, the news is next. That kind of thing, right? And that's announcing. Whereas now they go, it's 6:22, the news is next. And that's speaking, that's presenting. Or you go, 6:22, the news is next. And you're DJing. Or you go, 6:22, news next, kind of thing, boss jocking. It's all different. And that all came, as far as I'm concerned, from the States.
I'm going to give you...
When the States was king.
Wolfman Jack.
Oh,
what was he?
No, what a character. Person.
Character.
Total character, right?
Okay.
Well, what's it? You see him in American Graffiti. You know that movie? We watched that recently. Yeah. And so, yeah, Will Fan Jack doing his thing from you know, from this unspecified location somewhere across the border in Mexico. And it was all glamour and glitz, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then when the guy goes into the studio to me, he was like, hey, man, how you doing? It's just a guy. He's just a guy.
What about your friend that you've just done that voiceover for, Greg Beharrell? I mean, what would you call? I would call him a character.
Greg's an entertainer.
Oh.
That's different, isn't
character it? Character as well, though, because
he doesn't really do voices. Greg is a... Yeah, Greg Beharrell is now on 67 stations. Is that what he said? Whoa. Across North America? Wow. He's phenomenal.
Entertainer.
Yeah. And why is he on 67 stations? Because he's different. He's doing something nobody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's ever done... Well, you can't do what everybody does. But I don't think anybody's done what he's doing right now ever. I think he's a one-off. I think he's a unique individual.
So what areas are we talking about for someone listening?
Well, he works out of...
to listen to Greg.
He works out of KLOS, doesn't he, in Los Angeles. Okay. So that's his home station. That's his base. And then he's just syndicated all across. You pick a city in the States, he's on it. And in Canada, he's on there somewhere. Look.
Well, how did he start off?
Start off, I don't know. I met Greg in Toronto in 2000 and whatever, 13, was it?
Mm.
Yeah, geez, it's over 10 years now. And he was doing bits for The Breakfast Show on The Edge in Toronto. He was the funny guy, you know, writing the sketches and all. But they're all very weird. They're all kind of, that's quite bizarre. Okay, but I like it, but that's not, it's like we used to say about Ian Lee when Ian was on morning radio. It's not really morning radio, is it? It's brilliant, but is it for morning radio? As it turned out, it wasn't. Greg then went to Sea Fox in Vancouver, got nabbed very quickly, I think by a station in San Francisco, and then very quickly nabbed again by a station in Los Angeles. And then it just went off from there, obviously.
He's got a unique personality.
Yeah, it's very self-deprecating.
Yeah.
He comes across... Have you ever seen Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis? It's that kind of personality, that kind of awkward, not quite sure whether you're really part of the world
sarcastic.
Or not.
Sarcastic.
Not even. Just almost plays up the naivety, you know, a little bit. But
that's like Coulter's like that, though.
Coulter's more definite. Yeah. Coulter Bouchard in Toronto was more definite. Coulter's... No, you don't mess with Coulter. But Greg, you feel you could mess with them as in mess his head around the character. Coulter. But
isn't that great, though?
But Coulter's great because Coulter's funny, but incredibly directed in what he has to say. And I like that.
But that's the whole beauty of radio presenting and the uniqueness of these, you know, that you can actually go, that's Greg is this and Coulter's that. And that's the whole thing with the listener connecting with who's on air, because they can almost, you know, describe who that person is, even though they haven't met them.
If you know who you are, then the listener has a better chance of knowing who you
are. Absolutely.
And that's what you said about...
You've got to know
what
who
are
you
are.
Yeah. You got to identify who you are, because that's what makes you.
Look at our friend Stephen Daly, right? In Ireland. Stephen's just joining Talent Hub. We're absolutely thrilled to have Stephen on board Talent Hub. Aren't we? Bloody brilliant,
absolutely.
Isn't it? Like, what a guy.
Yeah.
We've known Stephen for a long time, but what an absolute star.
Stephen's brilliant.
How would you describe Stephen on here?
Stephen's a real gentleman, though. He's just the nice guy. He, you know, you just feel that you can approach him. If your tyre goes flat in the middle of the road, Stephen's your man.
And that's his personality on air. That's who he is.
Yeah.
And it works for him. Look at him. He's doing great.
That's right.
National radio across Ireland.
If you're lost, he's the guy who's going to show you how to get there.
And have you ever watched Channel 4 television in the UK? You'll hear Stephen pop up doing continuity. And he's just, you know, immediately, because he'll go, well, I didn't expect that to happen. Anyway, coming up next, you got this, Stephen. You know, he's saying what you thought you were thinking.
Exactly. But isn't that what we strive for? To be recognised as somebody on air, so that we stand out and people recognise us and we're familiar to them, and that's how we connect.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you want out of a career. Do you want to stand out, or do you just want to get by?
Do you want another silver tea there?
I just had one, thank you very much, while you were talking.
I'm going to have another.
How do you think I managed to shut up? The only way you can get me to shut up is by putting tea in my mouth. I still stand by what do you want? Number one, you're right, Tracy. Who are you when you're on air? That's incredibly important. Then, what do you want? Do you want to be a character? Do you want to stand out? Because that's comes at risks, right? Because not everybody's going to like that.
What format do you want to do? Do you want to be chat? Do you want to do a music-driven program?
half the time you don't get a choice. When I was unemployed in Vancouver, I didn't have a choice. I took the first gig I could get. It wasn't, well, do I want to work this format or not? No, I need to eat and pay the rent. So yeah, I'll take whatever bloody gig is going. So what do you want to do? And I'll go back again. When you start standing out from the crowd, the risks are greater, but the rewards can be phenomenal. Again, there's Greg Beharrell, 67 stations in North America, by being honest with who he is and not compromising what he is. He could have easily gone down there, hey, how you doing? That's a great song with Camila Cabello there, and we got Ed Sheeran coming up in a minute. It's 6:28. It's 6:28 now, not 22. 6:28 now. We've moved on a bit. He could have done that, but didn't. Ray Foley in Ireland's the same. Could have gone down that route, but didn't. I remember you know Ray as well as I do. I remember Ray years ago saying, I couldn't do that, he said. I can't do that kind of radio. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. Just can't do it.
And that's the thing, like, whoever you are, eventually that personality is going to come out on air if you are true to who you are.
Yeah.
And if you are going on the radio trying to be someone else that, you know, you think you should be, it's not going to work out in the long run. You've really got to be true to who you are to let that whole personality flow and be credible and everything. Connection.
Yeah, I can almost predict somebody thinking to themselves, yeah, but I work in a format. How the hell am I supposed to be creative and individual and special?
Dave Duke works on a format as well.
That's true.
In iRadio, but still.
Yeah.
His personality shines.
And you can work on the tightest format, but you can make your personality shine by using your pace, tone and delivery. You can use sarcasm, you can use irony, you can put anything in your voice to start off that creative process of standing out just a little bit. Just a little bit every time. We always say, do one thing every show that scares you. Just one thing. Every single time you're on the air, do one thing that scares you in your show. And just see how it feels. It might fall on its arse. It might not. But what if it doesn't? What if it actually excites you and you go, holy shit, I'm actually quite good at that. Or someone opens the door and goes, what did you just do? That was brilliant. Was it? I've had that happen. You've had that happen.
I think listen to the feedback. Listen to the good feedback. Listen to the bad feedback. Take that bad feedback and, you know, try and find out what's going on there.
So what are you? Ask yourself that question. Never think about it.
I mean, sometimes the bad feedback is probably the best feedback.
Usually. The hard stuff, the hard,
because
hard
you
pill.
Don't want to get like you know, the way when you finish a show and you go home and like, oh, you did great, yeah, you're brilliant, yeah, but is there anywhere I can improve? If you're kind of climbing up the ladder, you want to hear what you've done wrong, you want to know how you can improve, and that's what we deal with all the time with coaching.
And it's not, as we always say, it's not what you did wrong, because you don't do anything wrong, you just do things that need work, that's all. The fact that you opened up the mic and spoke is great. So let's make it better. That's all. Mm-hmm. Just let's make it better. And you're right. I keep telling you about when I worked out in RTE. Hey, Nails, great show today. I know they didn't listen. Didn't hear a bloody word I said. Probably didn't even turn the radio on. Great show. Oh, you're sounding great. It's kind of, okay. You don't even know who I am, like, half the time. You know, like, yeah, you're right. That faint praise is no praise at all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the people that give you a hard time over your show are probably the best ones to listen to. Probably, especially the ones that don't like you, because they'll pick all the problems with you. And if they don't like something, it means you did a bloody good job on it.
Because take notes of those things, because they're gold.
The ones who don't
they
like
are.
You.
I'm telling you, yeah, they're the ones that they're your best teachers.
They really are, because what they hear, they wish they could do, and they can't, so they have to attack.
They have to project.
Didn't like oh, that link was too good. I wouldn't try to be so funny if I was you, you know. I don't know if it's really you. Be funny. It's working.
You've been networking today.
Yeah. Always networking, Tracy.
You spend a lot of time on LinkedIn.
I do spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. Yeah. Today I made 3 new contacts. It's not that hard. It's actually not that hard. It's where I put
I don't know where that just came from.
It's where I put a big day's work. Oh, I'm knackered. I made 3 contacts on LinkedIn today. Oh, I'm exhausted. Yes, we see just people that you see online. Who was I speaking to recently? Ta-da! Ooh. Didn't he do well? Higher or lower? Yeah, and then just speak to a few people. One of the people
who you talked to recently.
Well, I was delighted to speak. You know, Matthew Eggleston from Today FM, former Today FM PD in Sydney.
Yes.
Who has, yeah, you know, who has started his own
Music Hub.
Thank you. Yes, he's just started a thing called Music Hub.
I was looking at that. The website looks really good.
It looks damn good because he knows what he's doing, right? He's supplying music logs and formatting for radio stations around the world. And he's just launched that. So I was talking to him about that. We stuck his banner up on our mail out because we do things like that. Because do you ever do that? Do you ever do that when you believe in something, you just go, yeah, you know what? Happy to support that.
I'll share that.
Exactly. I'll share that.
Yeah. God bless you. It's the hay fever again today.
Why you ask about who I contact?
Because I was on LinkedIn earlier and I came across something very interesting. I was thinking, this is a career opportunity with a difference. It was called Career Day and it was in Newfoundland. And it was from Stingray. Stingray are organising this get-together where they invite people along. You can get, if you want, it's a radio career day. So if you want to get into radio and you're in that area, go along to it because they are going to do face-to-face so you can meet people, you can network, you can get to know. I mean, we hear all the time people sending off demos, not getting replies. I think this is amazing what Stingray are doing, Nails.
Yeah.
No, this is fantastic. I mean, if all companies did that, you know, now and again, then that's doing something for people who want a career in radio.
Sorry, we don't have time. We're two up our own arses discovering AI and in-car listening to worry about getting people into it. Yeah, of course you're dead right. Of course you're dead right. Get back to the coalface presentation, one-on-one communication between one person to another.
Yeah.
And get people in.
I'm going to clap for that because well done, Stingray. That is amazing.
Always up for innovative ideas from companies. Stingray is a decent company, though, right? They're not the biggest company in the world, and that you find that happens a lot with the smaller. Not that they're small, but they're smaller than like Bell or Global or any of these other guys. I think that's really nice. Some stations have done that in the past, where they'll have talent competitions and contests, a bit like Radio Star, but just for the station. But this sounds a little different. They're not looking for a star for their radio station. They're just come on in and have a look.
Fantastic.
Come on in and have a look.
I mean, if you want to get to know the programmer, if you want to get to know the staff, if you want to, you know, have a career in radio and feel the atmosphere of what it's like, this is fantastic.
It also makes radio a little bit more relevant because radio is so scared of doing anything in case it gets noticed almost. Oh God, they've seen us. Now they know we're here. They're going to stop listening.
But even if you think maybe radio might be for me and you're not sure and you're in that area.
You're in Newfoundland.
And you go along to it and you talk to a few people and you go, wow, I heard some amazing stories. I've got to know a lot of info about it. This sounds really cool. I'm going to give this a try. And I've met somebody who's going to help me today.
Now, was this on Stingray's account, like their profile? Or was it somebody else was
It was one of the staff members of Stingray shared it.
So I guess if you're on LinkedIn, you could look up the Stingray page.
I think it was a marketing person from Stingray that shared it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Well done.
Fair play, Stingray. It's one of the
Let's see some more companies do this.
Yeah, we need more innovations to get people not excited by radio. And I'll give you an example why. Do you remember again?
No, I just got excited because we hear so many people saying, oh, I sent my demo off. No, we're coaching people and we get the demos done. We go through the whole progress with them, you know, coaching them, hearing their progress every week and then making the demo. And then, you know, the whole thing of sending the demo off, sending the CV and then nothing back. And we've done all that work with them and they don't get a reply back.
Yeah, but there's two ways of looking at that. Yeah, they didn't get a reply back and that sucks because they should get a reply back. But also we hear, well, I didn't get a reply. Okay, so what are you going to do? Well, that's it really, isn't it? No, that's not it really, isn't it? It's not.
So that's why I say something like this.
Yes, I agree.
It's amazing because it's the companies doing something for the presenters.
We will listen to you is what they're saying. Yeah. We know you're there. Come in and actually meet us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice. That is nice. And it gives you a bit more impetus. Listen, we all want to be heard, don't we?
Because how many people do we know that go, say, on holiday somewhere to a city and they're looking for a job in radio? And they say, should I actually pop into the radio station a little bit apprehensive? Should I go in? I might be disturbing them. You know, this is an opportunity to actually go. You're invited along to this.
Except for everybody that goes to New York and emails us and says, do you know anybody in Z100 every single time? Why are you going to? You're not going to New York, are you, by any chance? I am, actually. Of course you bloody are. Do you know anybody in Z100 every time? That's always hilarious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the common one.
If we send everybody that we know that's come to New York into Z100, they go, oh, Tracy and Nails, was it?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, come on into the Tracy and Nails meeting area because there's somebody here every week that gets in touch. That's hilarious. Yeah, but I do get your point.
It's good, isn't it?
It's nice.
Can I see if any more?
And listen, here's what I like about it is I'm thinking on my feet, even though I'm sitting down. For me, it's massive that we don't call this a radio industry, because I'm always banging on, but it's not an industry. It's just a bunch of people who do the same thing. We all do the same thing. I don't like the word industry because it makes it too formal, shirt and time, when there's rules and regulations. We're people. We're all people. So we help each other. And if I help you and you help me and you help John and you help Mary, and that we all sound better and do better, then the industry, if you want to call it that, becomes better. And as a whole, we become a better product and we become a better group of people and more attractive to listeners. And that's what it's all about. So you help me, I help you, and we all help each other rather than ignoring each other and battling each other. And that goes back to the first part, Tracy, when we're talking about presenter. If you know what you are, then you're not in competition with anyone else. If you know exactly who you are and your great talents and your gifts and you maximize them to the full, then you've nothing to worry about, because nobody can do that. You're the only one. You're the only one. So you be great at what you do and help others be great at what they do, and watch as the product sounds better and becomes more attractive to people, because
everybody benefits from each other.
Everybody benefits from each other. So you're not in competition with each other if you be true to yourself.
Speaking of networking, you were chatting to Tarzan Dam recently.
Well, one of the reasons I was chatting to him is because we're always going on about how nowadays you have to be, and I use the word relentless, and also obsessed. You have to be kind of obsessed with what you do, don't you? Because it's harder than ever to get gigs. But Tarzan Dan, if you don't know him, Tarzan Dan Freeman was a TV and radio star, basically, in Canada through the 90s, early 2000s. He had his own TV show, national TV show. And Alan's with any media career, went south for a while, picked it up again, went south for a while, and starts going, you get into choppy waters, don't you? You know that smooth sailing where I'm going to rule the world for the rest of my life. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a storm coming. I didn't see that happening. But right now, Tarzan Dan is hosting a midday show on 22 stations networked across the country. So he started that gig last month on Bounce, the Bounce Network in Canada. And I wanted to ask him about persistence and belief. The question I asked Dan was, how do you keep that belief and momentum alive when all the signs and all the people tell you that it's not worth pursuing?
Persistence and belief. Well, it's not always positive, right? We have been in this career because we love this career. It's what we know, we feel comfortable with, and at the same time, it can be our best friend or our biggest nemesis. For me, every day I get a chance to crack the mic, I enjoy myself. There was a kid, his name is Dan, and he had a dream to have fun on the radio for a living, and that's where I go back to. Being out of full-time work is definitely one of the suckiest situations, especially when you love what you do so much. But never be too proud to take a couple steps back to elevate your profile to potentially get noticed. That said, one of my favorite quotes is from David Bowie.
If you feel safe in the area that you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. Go a little bit out of your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting.
Love a bit of Bowie.
Thanks, Dan.
Oh, you know what I was going to say to you, Nails?
No.
Somebody asked me, when you're doing the next podcast, can you mention stuff about the demo and what I should put in my demo?
Oh, jeez.
And how should my demo sound?
Good. Make a good demo. There, next question.
And I says, yeah, no problem. This is what I do. I'm all the time making demos. So I hear a lot of audio. As do you.
No, you hear more than I do, because that's your thing. I will gladly filter it for you. I'll gladly take 44 hours worth of audio and whittle it down.
That's right. I got 44 hours of audio recently.
That's not a problem. Look, we always say send as much as you can, and yeah, you do. So, but I
only used a little bit of it.
Well, I'm the whittle downer, or the whittler, yes. Or the whittler downer.
Well, what I did was I got the best links.
Sorry, who got the best links?
No. I listen to each hour and I pick out the best links from that hour.
Yeah.
Then I'd let you hear the best links and you whittle them down to the best links.
Correct.
And then I would get the best links and I would edit out the best bits of those links, because you don't need a full link for a demo.
So you start by getting the best links, you hand me the best links, and I get the best links of the best links.
I get the links.
Right.
And then I listen to the error and I get the best links.
And then you give me the best links.
And so then I give you the best links.
So I can get the best parts of the best links.
No, yeah. The best links.
And then I send them back to you and you take the best bits of the best parts of the best links.
Yes.
Right.
I think so.
Simple. Simple, really? Okay, yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the question. Is there a straight answer to how to make a good demo? Is there one answer?
Yeah, I mean, listen to the audio as a listener, first of all. Does that make me, you know, sound really good? Or is, you know, be your worst critic. Be your worst critic.
You'd never put anything on a demo, though, would you? That's been always the problem with demos. It's always good to get someone else's ears.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you'll never make your demo, because it's never going to be as good as you want.
And that's where it goes back to the bit at the start, Nails, that we were talking about. Who are you on air? Because if you know who you are on air, then your demo will come together nicely too.
Yeah.
Because then you'll know, you know, am I the funny one? Okay, let's get the funny bits. Am I the serious one? Okay, let's get the serious bits, you know? And you can just pick those bits out and showcase those bits on your demo.
And then it's up to you how much of that you want.
Mm.
If it's 3 minutes of a demo, for example, or 2 minutes, and it's constantly funny, it might be a bit tiring. So you put in the odd bit here and there where it's not so funny. So it gives the ears time to relax.
I know you need variation, but if you're trying to showcase a certain type of your personality.
Your dominant personality.
Yes. Grab those bits. Grab the best bits.
And just like your show, if we listen to you for 3 hours and you're constantly hilarious, it's going to be very tiring. You have to bring it down a notch. Same with your demo. You have to show that you're able to bring it down, as well as bring it back up to your dominant personality.
And here's the thing. You don't need to put the whole link on your demo. Just the best bit of the link.
No.
Because they just want to hear your personality.
I remember having an argument with the program director about that, who said, no, I want to hear the whole link because you're just giving me the very, very... you're giving me the very, very, very best. My argument was your argument, I'm going to predict.
Okay.
Yes, I'm giving you the very, very, very best. Do you want to hear more? And if they say yes, go, great. I have a 5 minute demo as well with the entire link.
Absolutely.
On there.
Yeah, that's a good alternative.
There. Yeah.
But how many PDs have said that to you?
Yeah, okay, two.
Yes. And what does the majority say?
Oh, God, they're sick of listening to demos because they're all the bloody same.
And if something grabs their attention, it's longer.
Oh, 100%. Totally agree with you.
They don't want to hear generic links because they hear generic links all the time.
That is the one.
They want to hear what... Why are you different? Why are you stand out? Why are you fresh? Why should I hire you?
That literally is what they say. They hear the same demo with a different voice and a different name. But it's the same demo all the time.
And 44 hours of audio and links, I got the same link most of the time. The same kind of intro and the same outro.
And that's not the jock's fault or the presenter's fault. It's not their fault. It's just what they've been taught.
Yes, you know that you have to say the name of the station or the ID or whatever you need to say in the link. But vary it. Change it up a bit. Shake it up a bit.
Look, do a show. Who hasn't done this? This is my demo show. You ever done that one? I'm going to do the demo show today. You got all your great prep and all your stuff ready to go and you do your demo show. Look, it's not a secret that we do that, right? Do your demo show. Prep your demo.
Yeah.
And get that show. Mind you, when you do a demo show, it usually fecks up on you, doesn't it? Because sometimes it's the worst show you've ever done in your life because you're trying too hard. But do a link for the demo every now and then.
Yeah.
Or here's the other thing we always say. If you're just doing a regular show and just plodding along, but you get a sudden burst of inspiration and you do the world's greatest link, frickin' write down when that happened so that you can go and grab the audio, because You want to keep, look, it's just protecting yourself for the future as well as everything else. You may not be looking for a job, but sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes it's thrust upon
you. I think always have a fresh demo. Always have fresh audio so they can hear your most recent.
Last year's demo is no good to you.
No. They want to hear what you are like now.
Hey, I might look for a job and send them my demo from 1993. Do you think that'd be a good idea?
That's what a lot of people do, and that's
they actually do. It's like, do you ever see those dating apps that people talk about? They say, you know, they put up a picture of them 14 years ago or something. It's a different person. It's like this now, isn't it? You're looking for, it's almost like a dating app when you think about sending your demo, because you want people to like you and they want to be accepted by them. But it's a 14-year-old version of you. It's not you now. They want you now.
Everything nowadays has to be updated. Just like life. You know, social media, it's always update. So keep your demo updated, keep your CV updated. And, you know, even on LinkedIn, make sure that your title is right. There was something recently where you put someone's title wrong, and it was the title wrong because it was on their LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's right. I just took it from their LinkedIn profile. And the email to say, fair enough, the email to say, listen, that's not what I do. But, well, okay, well, I didn't know. You had to put that in there. The 7-second rule, does that still count?
I think it's less than 7 seconds now. It's 3-4 seconds. Grab their attention straight away. I mean, what is it that works a lot? Ask a question.
Mm.
The start of your demo, ask a question. Because what happens when we ask a question, Nails?
We have to answer it in our heads. Have to. We're engaged. Automatically we're engaged. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? Automatically engaged. Yeah, if you can think of a question that's never been asked, wow, then you're onto something. And you might think, well, that's going to take a lot of work. Yeah, it is going to take a freaking load of work. Of course it is.
And yeah, fancy imaging, fancy production, AI cloning, whatever.
Voices and
everything. There's so much going on with what you can do with the demo nowadays. But no, I think that if you showcase your personality, that's all they want. They just want to hear what you do, how you will sound on their radio station.
That's a good answer. Ring that bell.
Ding, ding. Ta-da.
And don't talk to me about bloody AI. Anyways, you were mentioning, you were showing me, that was a Fred Jacobs who put up his picture.
Oh, yes.
And he was saying, why is it every time I ask AI to make me a photo or an image for radio, it looks like it's from the 1940s.
Isn't it crazy when you do a generated AI image, it comes up with, like, just say you're doing something for sport, it comes up like little tiny tennis rackets and little balls and a whole load of little images.
You instantly
surrounded by, and instantly you recognise them, yeah.
Oh, instantly know an AI generated picture or article. You saw one the other day. What was the article on? It was a radio one, obviously. It was like on LinkedIn. It was like, here are 14 different ways you can be
tips, whatever, to be a better presenter.
God, it was like, well, you didn't write that, mate. And it's obvious. Well, now generated. The European Union laws, if they pass, will, one of the things they're talking about is, if you generate anything by AI, you have to state that it's generated by AI. It'll be illegal not to. So that'll be interesting. So if you write an article written by AI, you have to say it was written by AI. Not yet, but you will if this goes through. I like that idea.
Mm. There was a thing in the States recently where they were asking the public about AI and radio and how they think AI is going to replace elements of radio. Obviously, the imaging, promos, and the actual radio voice, the radio presenters.
Yeah, well, Spotify, as we spoke about the last time, we've tried that and it hasn't exactly gone down a storm,
has it? That's what I think, yeah. And I think I will stick to this. It's about personality and connection.
Do you remember a while back they tried that AI radio? Do you remember we were listening to it?
Yeah.
And it was okay for an hour. And then
because it was a novelty.
Literally.
Yeah.
And because we're in the industry, we checked it out. I was like, after an hour.
No, there's two words I'm going to say. Human touch. AI will never compete with the human touch. And that's what radio has. And that's what radio personalities and radio characters and radio presenters and radio jocks and broadcasters, whatever you call yourself, AI will never compete with you.
All right, because we're humans, I've got to go to the toilet, so let's finish this one up for the moment.
AI, so much tea.
AI never has to go to the loo. Don't forget, we're on all the socials. You can find us individually on LinkedIn.
Yeah, we'd like to hear your feedback as well, if you've anything you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, or you know, if you could, offer us any thing that you'd like us.
Send us voice notes if you want as well. We love voice notes.
Please, we'll love hearing from you.
We'll put you on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear your opinions, because everybody has an opinion and every opinion counts. We've been bunging some videos and TikTok videos up there and Instagram videos and sticking it on our YouTube page as well. So if you want to have a look at them, they're there. And if you don't, they're still there. It's entirely up to you. But we're very active on the socials.
And this has been the Just Radio podcast. Thank you very much for listening to episode 3.